And welcome to Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails to bring you the tippity-top in guests and collaborators and dazzle you with the stardom of its Welsh theme company. As usual, I'm Jack and I'm joined by my fellow history fanboy, Franks. Mm-hmm. But not so usually, we're also joined today by Nicholas George, the man behind Welsh Histories, a big-time social media presence fighting the good fight for all of Cymru. How are you, mate?
I am pretty great. Thank you very much for having me.
All the better for being on the pod, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. This is my life ambition right here.
you can pack it up now, mate. You've made it.
You're the big time.
Yeah. I am announcing my retirement on this show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all downhill from here.
We're doing this at a stranger time. We're doing this at 4:30 on the company dime whilst we're meant to be working. And what time is it with you?
Yes, so it's 9:00 here in Pune, Maharashtra. So it's getting late, but
ooh,
it's still
international.
Great.
You got that international appeal.
Yeah, Mr. Worldwide over here.
Lovely stuff. Well, with that, do you want to give a little bit about yourself and tell some of our listeners who might not know who you are, what you do, and a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I could definitely do that. So I'll start from the beginning, if that's okay.
Well, yes, I'm belted in. I want another history.
Okay, so I was born... No, I won't go that far. But...
yeah, there's a twinkle in my dad's eye. Yeah.
So in October of 2023, I moved to India to marry my longtime partner. And then I had to find work because it turns out I'm not actually allowed to work in India on my current visa. So my wife encouraged me, why not start a Facebook page about Welsh history, which I said, that's a terrible idea because we're a small country and there's not a lot of people interested in Welsh history. And for some crazy reason, I went ahead and did it. And it somehow grew rapidly to the point where we have, I think, 64,000 followers on Facebook. And now we're conquering IG with 15,000 as well. So I don't know how this happened, to be honest with you.
The revolution started.
Yeah, that's where I sort of came across you, mate. It was IG and the old Insta. And yeah, when I saw it and just like the posts, mate, they're great. They're exactly the sort of thing that my algorithm is like, it knows exactly what I'm after now. It just, you know, I'm sniffing out sort of Welsh historical nuggets all over the World Wide Web.
Weirdly, I came across you guys on Reddit, I think, a few months before I even started Welsh History. So it was an honor when you finally contacted me to come on the show.
That's very kind. I don't use Facebook, but I only have it for work. But I log on. I only follow your account on there. And it's like the perfect bite-sized bits of history for me. And so people don't...
That's a great like feed you're getting there then. Just Welsh history is constant.
Yeah, it is. So I literally have that. I don't even have my wife on there. She's like, can I be your friend? It's like, no.
Whoa. She's going to have to take a back seat to the real passion.
So Welsh history is ahead of your wife on the priorities list on Facebook.
Absolutely. Yeah, but I love your stuff and I find it really like accessible. So for like, especially if you're on socials, you don't really want to have to do too much of a, like a huge deep dive, but you always pick out some of the best bits. And then if you want to do a bit more research yourself, you can, but it's really nice just to get like a flavor. You do a lot of like on this day stuff, which I love, where it's like on this day is, and I love that sort of stuff because it's like feels like a direct handshake back into history of
that's
what happened on this day.
We've talked about them before, Frank's like we wanted to try and do more stuff like that and we've just been woefully shit at it basically, just lazy. But we look at you and went, if only we could be like him. Like,
Let's get him on the pod instead.
That's the little exchange we'll do. Yeah, they deal with the devil.
Honestly, it took a long time for On This Day stuff to work for me because I used to run a different page and I had like 10 followers and I'm pretty sure 5 of them were just fake accounts that I made. So it's been a long working process to make this work.
You got it. It's all about looking like you're successful until you make real success, mate. So no shame there.
Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah. Well, we on today's one, we're going to go through some of our... We're going to keep it quite broad, aren't we? So we're going to discuss Welsh history in general and talk about our favourite figures from Welsh history. So we've all picked two. We haven't checked if we've picked the same people, but I think that's fine. If we have, we can just give them extra love.
Roll the dice in there, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So should we start? Do you want to start with your favourite one?
I was going to say, before we do get started, is it worth us asking the drinking question? Because it is, well, it's early for us. I don't know, you know, George, Nicholas, sorry. You might be hammered by now. I don't know, because it's a little bit later over there. But is it worth asking the drinking question? Or are we all on tea time?
I'm on the Diet Coke.
Yeah, I'm on the Pepsi today. So I'm on the hard stuff.
Oh, nice.
And I'm the only one on the old Bud Light. I'm the only one, of course I am. Classic. Story of my life.
I'm on a Pepsi Max, but I've got a slice of orange in there to make myself feel a bit edgy. So I am living.
Okay.
So it's a cocktail, official.
I thought I would be your most boring guest because I am notoriously teetotal, to be honest with you. So.
No, but I'm on a teetotal phase myself. I'm a 14 days into sobriety until next week when I give up again. But
congratulations. We did both agree, me and Franks, we weren't going to drink on this one because it's early and he's on the detox and things and we're doing another one tomorrow. And then I broke instantly as soon as the sun pipped its head out of the clouds over my side.
Yeah,
I was just like, nah, it's going to happen. I'll just crack one open. Why not? Yeah.
Well, me and Nicholas are a bit more grown up than you, actually.
Yeah, we're not mature at a faster rate.
Yeah, it's actually kind of pathetic.
You more so with your fancy orange as well.
I'm part of the hoi polloi with my delicious bit of orange in there. It's very fancy.
High society.
Yeah,
you guys are like a pair of girls. You matured quicker than me. It takes me into my 40s to mature emotionally.
It does make you sound like a paedophile when you said that.
I meant mentally. Get your mind out of gutter.
Your girls mature by the fan. You're absolute creep.
You're both old enough to party. I know that. So.
Yeah. Well, should we start with our first one? And Nicholas, do you want to start with your with your favourite figure from Welsh history?
Oh, man. So I went back and forth on this a lot. And at one point, I had John Charles in it at one point and Gareth Bale. I'm a football fan. But I eventually went for someone who's a bit more back in history. I went for Owain Gwynedd.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Lovely. Great choice.
Yeah. Have you guys covered him on the show before?
Yeah, we've covered him, but do you want to give us a bit of a background into why he's important and why you like him?
Yeah, so for me, I like him the most simply because he kind of united all of the other princes with him, right? And took on, was it Henry the Second? I want to say Henry the Second. I wrote a long post about this a while ago. Yeah. And he was kind of like Owain Glyndŵr before Owain Glyndŵr was Owain Glyndŵr, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He spoke to the French about an alliance, and I think he offered to become a vassal of them too.
Yeah, so you realize, I noticed when when we were early on in this pod, is you realize how many sort of Owain Glyndŵrs and Llywelyn ap Gruffydd there actually are, or like sort of certain parallels to them. Even if they're not exactly the same, there's so many big heroes you just never really hear about.
Exactly. And I had never heard of him until I started this page, which is a sad thing, to be honest with you.
We say that all the time. It's crazy how little we get to know about them. And Owain Gwynedd is a perfect example of that.
Exactly. Definitely. So he's the one who I've gone with. I also was looking at Rhys ap Gruffydd as well, but I'm still learning a bit about him. And Betsy Cadwalader as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, we should do Betsy Cadwalader.
We haven't covered it, have
no,
we?
No.
Yeah. I will steal that from you, mate. Thanks very much.
Yeah, take it, do it.
Well, I love Owain. He's also he's from Gwynedd, obviously, the surname Gwynedd. He's also known as Owain Vowed, isn't he? Which is like Owain the Great. Two people to be called the Great in Welsh with him and Llywelyn. But he's also he's the head of North Wales, and loads of his ancestors go on to be great leaders. So I'm pretty sure Llywelyn comes from his stock as well. Llywelyn Vowed, who we did not too long ago.
Yeah, he's like a big, progenerator? Progenitor? What's that word? You know what I mean? Someone who basically, so he's a lot of people are like big time people are from his line, aren't they?
His grandson is Llywelyn Ap Iorwerth, so Llywelyn the Great. And unless you're a big history buff, you'll often kind of bypass those kind of people. So that's kind of why we love doing this. What do we used to say, Jack? We said, shine a light on an otherwise dimly lit history.
Dimly lit
like
history, yeah.
So that's like, a good way to burn it, yeah.
We knew that there was like corners of Welsh history that hadn't been covered when we first started this. One of the main reasons we wanted to sort of do it. But only when we got into it, we were like, Jesus, there really is so much that isn't covered. Like it's like the iceberg thing, you know, only 10% is above the water. And Oink Gwynedd definitely falls on that. I just love the iceberg. I just come drinking a beer. It's cold thing. But yeah, no, Oink Gwynedd is a top choice because he's one of the big time boys.
He was on my list as well, but I ended up not picking him. I picked someone similar, but he was actually my first name I put down. So yeah, and I like that one. Jack, do you want to go next?
Yeah, sure. I'll get in before anyone picks off one of the ones on my list. So my first choice was Llywelyn Bren.
Oh, he was also on my list. Nice one. But it
very underrated.
We've devastated you, mate. Go on. But yeah, Llywelyn Bren, we did an episode on him for the listeners, if you want to go back and look at that in a bit more detail. But basically, he was like a nobleman, a Welsh nobleman in the late, test of my knowledge, 13th century, I want to say. And he wasn't actually like a king or a prince or anything like that, but he sort of fought the good fight against the English. He was very diplomatic to begin with. He was one of those guys that, because we tend to sort of romanticize the warlords, if you like, don't we? Like the warrior princes in Welsh history. And they are cool, to be fair. Like, I've got a big... I'm trying not to be vulgar. I was going to say hard on for them, but I was just trying. I got a guest, and I was like,
"Just go on.
Try not to be vulgar," but I just can't. It's just in my nature. Anyway, I like the sort of warrior princes, but this Llywelyn Bren, he sort of stood out to me a bit more because Frank's covered him, and it was like he did sort of everything in his power to resolve things diplomatically to begin with, and it was only when he was kind of pushed right to the edge that he kind of rose up in rebellion with his like fellow Welshmen and stuff. And then also what I liked about him is that after he was sort of betrayed by the English crown, Edward II at the time, and sort of very brutally executed against the previous agreement of safe passage. And then that led, like had a knock-on effect to even like the English lords kind of being so disgusted with the way he was treated that they kind of rose up against Edward II as well. So I love the kind of knock-on effect that he was so respected. And he was so respected even by the English that, you know, that when he died, they were like, well, we're not having this. And they sort of rose up against their own king. So I like him in that sort of respect as well. He's like a two sides of the same coin type thing.
He's a very underrated character, I think.
Mm.
Especially because, like you said, the knock-on effect he had toppled Edward's like reign, and after that he got like banished and put into a tower and most likely murdered. So that's, I think
is Edward II the one who with the poker? Am I thinking of the right one?
Edward II is Edward Longshanks' son, who was presumed to be gay.
Yes, that's the one I'm thinking.
Yeah, and he was incredibly cruel. They hung, drawn, and quartered. Llywelyn Bren when he was like offered safe passage. He was like, oh yeah, come here, mate. And then they
battered him. What was the name of the guy that he was, you know, historians suspect that he was like in love with?
I can't remember.
Was it, because this is why the English rose up against him. Very good. Very good. excellent. Set you up right there. But that's another reason the English rose up against him, because he was giving a lot of preferential treatment to this guy and his family.
Maybe the Despensers? It might have
been.
But,
I think you're right.
That seems to ring a bell,
Despensers,
Pretty sure it's that. But what are we, a history podcast? That's not for us to know.
Look it up if you want to know,
Google it.
That's not Welsh history.
That's English. That's across the border. We don't do that.
I was thinking of putting Llywelyn in his mind as well, because, like you said, the unsung hero of it, and like he tried his best to sue for peace, and then in the end, you know, he didn't want to, and he had like six sons who fought with him in battle, which I always think is pretty cool. It's pretty like Game of Thrones-esque. So I was keen for that one as well.
I hope you had a backup, Franks.
I was going to choose Llywelyn Bren. I was going to choose Owain, but I didn't because I thought they might be picked. So I've got two. I'll do one that's in keeping with the times. So I'll choose my first one's Gwenllian.
She was on my list.
Was she? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. No, go on, go and say, and I've got backups. Backups.
Well, she is like, so first of all, she's the daughter of Owain Gwynedd. The reasons I really like her is she's like, she's really romanticized with when she married her husband, that they went on this big campaign against the Normans who were attacking West Wales for like 25 years of doing this kind of Robin Hood, steal from the rich, give to the poor, attacking, like living this nomad life of fighting in the forest and stuff. And she led her armies into battle, which is, you know, for most noble women of the time, they didn't really have to fight in the thick of it. They had other kind of diplomatic duties, but she was like a proper old school Celtic warrior princess. And I know the Celts weren't what they were. Celts kind of had gone by this point, but that kind of throwback was still there. And women being a part of the army was still like much more of a thing in Wales than anywhere else.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool throwback to those kind of Iron Age times, isn't it? Where you could have the women on the battlefield with you is a lot more sort of common then.
And also, like all the men supported her. And whilst her husband was awake getting more support, she led more armies because she was kind of forced into it because they were attacking the like local area and stuff. And when they caught her, Gwenllian, as like most nobles, when you're caught by the Normans, you were expected to kind of be given a ransom for. And looked after because you were noble birth. You wouldn't be expected to have to slum it as badly. But because they were so insulted by her as a woman leading them, they beheaded her in West Wales. And after that, people were like fucking disgusted by it. So for like centuries after, people used to chant Dial Achos Gwenllian, revenge for Gwenllian. And it was like a battle cry for ages, which kind of summed up like the disdain the Normans had for the Welsh. And I think she inspired loads of people for like generations.
Yeah, she's cool as hell. Didn't you go out like an absolute boss as well when fighting the Normans? Like and her son, that they had like a, that's very Game of Thrones-esque as well, isn't it? Like a little battle.
Just before they killed her, her son stuck a shield in front of her because they went to hit her with like a mace or an axe, and he got his shield in front and they broke the shield and broke his arm. And he was just, because what they used to do, her and her husband would split up. So when they were in battle and they take their, if after they had a battle, they'd split up and one would take a couple of kids and the other would take a couple of kids. So if they were ever caught, they could free each other. And it's quite a romantic style. So her and her, she fought a lot with her kids as in like next to her. And, when she died on the battlefield, all of her sons died fighting for her just before she got killed. It's a really romantic, you know, sad, but a very romantic kind of tale. And then her bloodline, her one of her children included Rhys ap Gruffydd from Deheubarth. So she, again, like her legacy and her bloodline carried on.
Very prominent lineage,
He got revenge for her too, right? I think, was Cric Mawr before?
That's
or
the
after
one.
Gwent
no, that's so yeah, just after. No, yeah. So and that was involving Owain Gwynedd and lots of people we mentioned earlier. That was like
that was like a convergence of a couple of like big league Welsh leaders.
Yeah,
some came from Cric Mawr, and that's when they beat the Normans, and they was kind of suspected it was one of the first uses of the longbow. But I've been ranting for too long now. Back to you, Nicholas. Who's your second?
Okay, so I would, like I said, I was very close to choosing Betsy Cadwallader, to be honest, and I'm still tempted to do so, but my other choice was Gwynfor Evans.
Oh, nice! Before you do that, do you want to give us a little background on Betsy? Do you want to give her a
blurb, a little blurb,
a little blurb on why she nearly made it?
So she nearly made it for me because one, she's from Bala, which is pretty close to where I'm from. I mean, and then. Aside from that, she's a working-class Welsh lady, and she managed to somehow rise to this prominent role, despite people like Florence Nightingale, who get far more credit.
And what does she do?
Yeah, so Betsy was a nurse during the Crimean War, and she was responsible for bringing in new measures for cleaning the wounds of the injured soldiers in the hospital.
All right, so is this? I'm assuming this has got to be around what 1800s ish.
I would, yes, I believe she died in 1860. If I'm correct.
Oh, there we go. So this is like when they go, oh, chuck a bit of dirt in that open leg wound, you'll be fine. 2 weeks, patch that up. And she thought,
gloves?
You know what?
Who wears gloves?
Yeah, spit on your hands before you do it. Don't worry. But so I'm assuming she came in and just went, maybe splash a bit of water on that before you dress it up.
Exactly, yeah. So I believe she was one of the first nurses to propose using more advanced cleaning methods cleaning the wounds especially. So that was a big thing. And I believe that she was moved to another hospital by Florence Nightingale because she didn't like that Betsy was so keen on cleaning the wounds. So I do like that about her. She kind of stood up against the upper class system. That was.
I thought you were going to say I liked it because she stood up to Florence Nightingale. It's like it's about time she was taking down a bloody peg or two.
Well, I was going to say that. So yeah, pretty much. You read my mind. Damn you, Florence.
Good on you, Betty.
And for people who don't know, especially our American listeners, there's a health board. So one of the NHS health boards is named after her, isn't
it? Yes, the North Wales. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, we have to do an episode on her. It's a bit shocking.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely kind of crossed our radar.
We will be stealing that 100%.
Yeah. So that was your honourable mention. So, but what's your... So yes. Gwyn Vaughn Evans, your official one.
Yeah, so I went for Gwyn Vaughn Evans, and this was a last-minute change. Like I said, I deliberated a lot on who I was going to go with. And I was just reading some of my old posts today, trying to figure out who I'm going to go with. And then I remembered, actually, Gwyn Vaughn Evans was there for a lot of things in the 20th century, so... He was campaigning against the flooding of Capel Celyn, which I think is one of the biggest things there. He was, I can't remember if he won the by-election just before Aberfan or just after Aberfan, but he was there when that happened too. He was the one probably most responsible for the founding of S4C. I mean, he went on a hunger strike to achieve that after Thatcher had promised to have a Welsh language channel and then changed their mind last second.
We learned about that in school because we went to a Welsh language school. That's one of the things they used to bring up quite a lot when they deal with like people have starved and died for this language. And well, at the time, we weren't that appreciative of it, I don't think, because we were like, lame. But now, you know, you look back and you realize what a big deal it was.
If we went to school in Barry, which is where Gwyn Vaughn's from, and his grandson went to our school. Do you know that? It was Dewi Evans.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that was his great-granddad. And there's a statue of him in Barry. And I remember we went round there and he just said, that's my granddad. I was like, yeah, whatever. There's a statue of your granddad.
Well, I just look at a picture of Gwyn Vaughn now. He didn't have the fluffy curly barnet that Dewi Evans had in school. No. Not to come from his mum's side.
He had it as sideburns instead.
He did have quite a strong sideburn. He's got a bit of the Elvis quiff on him as well.
Game. Oh yeah.
Yeah, so people who don't know, especially we have quite a lot of American listeners. Do you want to explain what S4C is?
Yeah, so S4C is the official Welsh language channel. Is it the only Welsh language channel that we have?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of the only Welsh language only channel in Wales. So it's pretty great. Do you know what S4C stands for? I'm not sure what it stands
channel, for. Channel? I'm not too sure. Let's have a look.
Channel Pedro Cymraeg, is it?
Oh, maybe, that's a guess. That's a
that
guess.
Sounds about guess, right.
But, yeah. Which would mean the Channel Pedro, Channel 4, Cymraeg, Welsh.
Welsh, yeah.
I actually can't find what it stands for.
But I don't know if that's like, you know, when they, what do they call it? Like a backronym when you look back and you attribute it as an acronym. Maybe it isn't an acronym, I don't know. But yeah, I'll go with that, isn't it? We made it up as well. We're basically responsible. We're up there with Gwyn Vaughn.
Yeah. And we've actually had some guests who've been on S4C. We had the Dr. Cymraeg and he was on that rambling walking show.
Amdro.
Amdro, for people who don't know, S4C covers like regional stuff and it also has like soaps on there. So Pobla Cwm, which is People of the Valley, is like a really long running. Yeah, it's a classic. Pretty trashy, but it also it's the place of some good drama like Celtic Noir stuff like Hinterland and things that become big recently. So it's definitely got its merits on there.
I remember being a teenager and watching Pobla Cwm and realizing that I don't actually speak good enough Welsh to understand what's going on, but it was still great for some reason.
It's all contextual. You can sense what's going on. It's like any good soap opera. You don't actually need the words. You can get it.
Exactly. I felt it in my heart, and that's what mattered the most.
That's what they're going for,
I think Ewan Rheon was in it as well.
He was.
So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, the baddie from Game of Thrones. Yeah, to be fair, if you're a Welsh actor, you've been on Pobla Cwm. It's like a breeding ground from where our great actors come from. So it's a good one, I think. And also, we don't cover too much 20th century politics or 20th century history, so it's always nice.
We've dabbled, haven't we? But we tend to cover a little bit earlier than that. But no, that's a great shout. That's a great choice.
Yeah, I thought I'd bring a 20th century shout in.
Nice. Mm. And what about you, Jack? What's your second one?
So I'm going absolute opposite and going way, way back instead of closer to modern age. I'm going to go back because I thought I'd do someone from the era that I really love, which is the sort of Iron Age Celtic period. And I thought I was debating going for Boudica, but although I do count her as kind of Welsh adjacent because she's Celtic, she's a you know, Brittonic sort of thing.
I'd say she counts.
But because she was sort of situated in where it'd be like East Anglia, now modern day East Anglia, I was like, oh, someone a bit closer to home. And so I decided to go for Caradog, or Caraticus, as the Romans called him. So we did an episode on him. I think, Franks, you did that one, didn't you?
Ages ago.
And so he was basically the guy who led, he was a Celtic war chief, he led the Silurians, which are the Celts sort of located in southeast Wales.
So like hyper-violent.
Really, really. The Celts were vicious warriors anyway, and they had a reputation even among the Celts of being like extra vicious and nasty. So they were very ferocious, and they resisted Roman conquest with like a lot of vim, shall we say?
Yeah.
And Caradog was actually from the Catavellani tribe, which was more kind of Midlands England, if I remember right. But he lost a fight against the Romans there. Made his way down to sort of southeast Wales, and then kind of worked his way up in the ranks, basically in the Silurians, and ended up leading them. And they had a lot of really big victories, like they destroyed a whole whole legion of Roman soldiers. I forget what they were now. They had a lot of big wins with the against the Romans, and he did eventually lose because the Romans were just like too mighty a force. Basically, they weren't ready for that sort of resistance,
were they? They were really shocked at how much he was to resist.
So much that they had to, you know, in Caerleon now there's the ruins of the old barracks, the Roman barracks, because they had to situate so many strongholds here. They had more, I think you say this in the Caradog episode, Franks, but it's like they had more Roman troops here per square mile than anywhere else in the empire, because they had to subdue like a real strong rebellion from the locals. He gave like a really cool speech as well. He got captured in his last battle when he lost, and he was dragged over to Rome.
He was betrayed, right? Was he betrayed by
Queen?
Yeah, was it Carti Mandua or something like that?
You know what it was? And her husband then went on. There's Caradog's, the Silurian rebellion. There's Boudica and her rebellion. And there's a third one that's like got barely any information on it. And the guy who led that, the woman you're talking about, was his wife.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because he ended up falling out with her or something, and then started this whole rebellion. But yeah, she was quarrel. He was betrayed by I think she was, I can't remember what tribe she was from, but yeah, you are quite right. And he got basically carted off to Rome to be executed in front of like a big crowd and everything. But he gave this really cool speech, you know, about how what was I meant to do? You want to come over and like enslave my people and take our resources and all that, what would you have me do? And he also said something like, you wouldn't have this glory if I didn't fight you. So
yeah, it's pretty cool.
So hard. And it was really good. And he got spared, I think, didn't he? He did become a kind of Roman fanboy after that, which is not the coolest.
They let him and his family live on quite a nice island. And then they became a bit of like a touring act where it was like, come see the barbarians. So people would go visit him, and he'd like kind of regale them with his kind of what they class as barbaric attitudes, whereas really they're pretty barbaric.
He did
themselves.
Sort of sell his home country down the river as well when he was like, he said something about how, oh, look how amazing Rome is. Look at these Romans. They sure know how to build stuff. We've got shitty little mud huts back home. And
these Romans sure know how to roam.
I do think, though, it's probably fair because the Romans were like crazy advanced. It's like going to like, coming from like, leaving Barry to go to Japan and be like, whoa, these guys know how to build a city.
To be fair, he's probably like, wow, running water. This is amazing. I just dipped my ass in the nearest pond.
All right, so my last one is Adrian Street, who
I know Adrian Street.
Glad I picked him because he's a bit like a Welsh icon like no other. And I was thinking, well, we have a lot of heroes and political heroes, and I was thinking, well, maybe let's look at a cultural one. We have like Michael Sheen, who's fantastic. You have like Charlotte Church, who's like a great beacon and bastion of like discussing, promoting Welsh culture. But I thought I'd go with Adrian Street, who, if people don't remember, he's like a really flamboyant camp wrestling heel. So like the baddie in wrestling. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, a warrior in his own right. Very different from the ones we've discussed. But yeah.
I actually read a quote saying he's a working class rebel who turned glitter into armor. He broke down loads of stereotypes. So he was born in a coal mining town in Bryn Mawr. He was expected to follow his father down the pits, but instead he became this like flamboyant, over-the-top professional wrestler who redefined masculinity. He's like an absolute hench guy, but he wore glitter and eyeliner. And he had like crazy like sequins and stuff. And he weaponized camp to like mess with like hyper macho people in the 1970s. Yeah. So he'd turn up in like pigtails and lipstick and glam gear, and he'd make the audience deeply.
He used to come out to like gay anthems and things like that as his music.
He was basically Goldust before Goldust.
Yes. 100% paved the way for people like Goldust. Mm. Definitely.
And he wasn't openly gay himself, but he carved out a space for like non-conformity and like queer coded performance in hyper heteronormative spaces and stuff. And this is in the '70s. Like he was really over the top and fun, and he kind of broke down pretty vicious stereotypes. Not even stereotypes, just made it more accessible. And I think he's a really fun one.
He toured, didn't he? Purposely toured like the southern states during that time, knowing full well their kind of attitudes. Because he was like, I'm going to get the biggest crowds here just purely because they were like, you know, bigoted about it and everything.
Yeah.
But he was saying, didn't matter to me. It was, you know, the crowds are going nuts. Doesn't matter which way they're going.
Yeah.
Like you said, he was just unashamedly sort of putting that out into the like public sphere, wasn't it?
And but he also he never forgot like where he came from, and he'd always mention Wales rather than just England. You know, lots of people at the time in the '70s would be like, "Oh, I'm from England." If getting the conversation about what Wales is and it's a country next to England, he was very proud of his Welsh heritage. And there's that really funny photo when he goes back in all of his glammed up gear, stood next to his dad outside of mine, and his dad's covered in coal.
Yes, I think I've seen that photo.
It's really good.
From the dad, this big proper macho like miner all his life, covered in like soot and all that, and just a flamboyant.
But I think it's like a really nice, and I do think Welsh people are incredibly accepting, and I think I love that photo because this is like a proper working class dad who only knows the mine, and he's got this mad son who's dressed up in all this gear and he's still like, oh, I'm proud of him. And he was really proud of him throughout, and he's like very I know he beat up Jimmy Savile, so that was quite good.
I was just about to say, you can't leave that bit out. Beat the shit out of him.
That's all
in a charity match.
He said he never liked him and he could tell something was a bit like off with him, and in a charity match, beat the shit out of Jimmy Savile.
He said apparently he used to make like we'd badmouth like wrestling as a sport, you know, and say like, oh, anyone can do it type thing. There's no sort of finesse or hardness needed in it, and he didn't like that. And apparently he used to, behind stage, he was bragging about, you know, sleeping with underage women or something like that. And so Street just beat the living shit out of him in this thing, to the point where it was meant to be a draw or something, I think, for the sake of charity. It was like, but Jimmy Savile like was screaming apparently to like the officials to be like, please end this. He said he was ripping hair out of his head and stuff.
Yeah, he was pulling hair out of Jimmy Savile's head, which is probably the only justice that guy got. So we can thank a Welshman for that.
Adrian Street,
he's a proper legend.
So that was our roundup of our favourites. Do let us know who we've missed off. But before we go, Nicholas, you're going to mention some of the comments you've had. Are you still up for doing that?
Yeah, so I can definitely do that. Let me just find one. Actually, I could just say one from the top of my head. Yeah. So my most recent accusation against me is that I'm a Russian spy.
You're an asset.
I'm working for the Kremlin.
Because also, we'll put this in context that you've run a successful history channels on social media, and as we know, social media is not the most sane or reserved, especially the comment sections. They're not the most level-headed places, are they? And you've had a few kind of comments thrown your way, and you said you'd bring up some. So yeah, Russian spy one.
elaborate.
I was accused of being a Russian spy recently. I can't fully remember the context, but this came just a week after I was accused of being an Indian spy. And
all right,
this was a week after I was accused of working for the Senev. So I'm a little bit confused on this trajectory.
You're gun for hire.
Apparently, yeah. I'm a mercenary. Yeah.
Yeah.
The man with no flag. He's just a tool to be used to take down government. I think with the Senev one, you could at least maybe draw a line of kind of conclusion there. Go, he's working for the Welsh government because he's promoting Welsh culture, I guess. Yeah. But the Indian government, the Russian government, is that their new angle? Like, going to try and infiltrate through people's love of Welsh culture and what destroys from the inside?
Exactly, because apparently if I post anything about the Welsh language, or I think this was actually on one of the language tables I made, and some people get really offended by the Welsh language.
They do, don't they?
They accuse me of deliberately being divisive because not posting entirely in English. So it's a little bit confusing.
Yeah, or just saying Cymru instead of Wales or something like that.
That's the main one. Yeah, because I chose to use Cymru instead of Wales. That's when it started.
You notice that this isn't not to generalize, but it's often a lot of middle-aged English people are so hateful of the Welsh language.
Correct.
Yeah, it's the gammon. They absolutely detest it. They're either scared, I don't know if it's fear or ignorance or whatever it is, but they absolutely hate the Welsh language existence. And just using the name of the country in its native language is enough to cause hernias in some gammon. So they go fucking mad for it.
So when you say it's Bane Brecheniog, we're changing it back to what it originally was called instead of Brecon. Being like, well, I won't be calling it that. I won't be calling that. It's like, cool, man. No one's got a gun to your head.
It was
mate.
A Brecon Beacons when I grew up.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. They're nightmares. Yeah, so you're not a Russian. We can confirm, can we, on this pod? Hot take, you're not a Russian spy?
I can confirm I am not a Russian spy. Just putting it out there.
Nicholas, if it comes out that you are now down the line, we're going to be very angry with you.
Yeah. Have you got any others?
Yeah, so I just found another one. This was a private message I received. And it says, when you're English and hear Welsh people deriding the English language at every turn, it only thereby cumulatively adds to the erosion of the Welsh language. Hmm. Now, the thing I don't understand about this is I post 99% of my posts in Welsh. In English. Yeah. So it makes no sense.
And it's like you don't have to speak Welsh to understand your posts. You know what I mean? You do use the occasional Cymru or occasional Welsh like place
exactly.
name.
And I even started putting the English in brackets to translate it. I know not everyone likes that, but I started doing it again to be somewhat inclusive, but
I don't know. It's charity, Nicholas, for God's sake.
I know. I give them more than they deserve. And then they accuse me of being racist towards the English, which is kind of funny because I was born in England. So it's kind of crazy, to be honest with you.
Mm.
It's just that knee-jerk reaction, like Frank said. Some people, I don't know what it is. It's like, if you just say, oh, did you know this thing like existed? It's, you know, just across the border. From you. What?
Also,
why is not everything
it's England? It's on a Welsh history on a Welsh history Facebook page.
The best part about it. They came there to a Welsh histories page. And I don't know if you ever saw this one, but about a year ago, I was asked why I don't cover more Anglo-Saxon history on the page. I'm going to dig up that one because that one is a funny one. But
It's like going into a church and be like, God, you keep going on about Jesus. You kept hammering it down my throat. It's like you're actively seeking out.
Oh, another hymn, is it? Jesus, you guys love singing.
Do you guys ever want to read the Quran? It's like you're misjudging the audience.
I do like that you call these guys out sometimes as well. I've seen a couple of your posts where you've taken the screen grabs and stuff like that.
I do like them.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. The funny part of it. People think I do it because I've been triggered, but actually it's one, it's pretty funny to laugh at them. And two, it's really good for the algorithm, to be honest with you. So I have to bring it up.
Right. Is there any last ones or should we thank you for your time today?
I thought you said any last words then. I said, right, any last words?
Any last words, Russian spy.
I was just saying, last words, you're a Russian agent.
Yeah, I can't find much more. I got one. Am I allowed to say the F word on this podcast?
Go fucking nuts. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. So this one says, fuck the Welsh language. It's a tool of the liberal elite.
Oh, Well, we're part of the hyperloy. We're part of the liberal elite.
To be fair, us Welsh have had it on top for too long. We've been on a pedestal in this great nation for far too long.
So I'm a Russian spy in the liberal elite, just putting that up there.
Yeah.
Schrodinger's
ideologies. But yeah, the liberal elite of a language that's... It's like survived.
Yeah. It was brought to the brink of extinction.
The language that predates liberalism.
Oh dear. Yeah, we're quite lucky. We don't have we get some a very intense people message sometimes, but they're always like they tend to be just always
in the positive.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you get this as well? Yeah, most of my comments are positive. To be fair,
yeah. No, we've had two. I think overall we've only ever had two. Genuinely negative comments, reviews. Two. Everyone else is, we have got like mad comments occasionally or DMs, but everyone's like really kind. We had one person say that because we talk a lot, we kind of break the podcast into two parts. The first part where we catch up, and then the second part where we do the history. And some person was like, "It's been 15 minutes and you've not even mentioned the topic." It's really
a waste of my time.
And then another lady, said it was too much dilly dally. No, what did she say?
Too much jibber jabber.
Jibber jabber. She was like,
"Jibber jabber."
Just I remember it. I can almost recite it word for word because it was seared into my brain. It was very early doors in the podcast. We weren't the most confident. And it was one of our first reviews, and she was like, "It's really hard to get through this. Too much jibber jabber." And I was like, "Holy shit!"
Yeah,
but SDT is making fake accounts to troll, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
I'd say we're like incredibly lucky that our listenership are just really sound, and everyone's been even on like socials with people who don't necessarily listen to the pod but follow us on social media. They've always been pretty fine.
To be fair, as well, at the start, wasn't it? We were quite defensive. People wouldn't even say things to us on our own. We'd be like, "And if you don't like it, you can just fuck off. You can just fuck right off, right? Fuck off."
Yeah, we got
maybe that's
like
sort of scarpered some people. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming on, man. Where can people find you to add to your growing list of social media followership?
Yes, so the best two places to find me are facebook.com/Welsh Histories. And Instagram.com/Welsh Histories. These are the two best places to find me. I also have a blog as well. Just type Welsh Histories and it'll come up.
And we'll put all that in our show notes. But it's really really good stuff for if you're scrolling through socials and you want to find some interesting bits of Welsh history. It's the perfect account to follow.
Well, as I mentioned as well, anyone who listens to us will benefit from following you because it's exactly the same sort of content and it's great. Like it's digestible. It's like bite-sized. Really accessible.
Yeah.
Anyone who's listening to us, just give it a follow. It's well worth it.
Head on over.
Thanks for that. I appreciate it. And avoid the comment sections.
Thank you so much for coming on, man. Diolch yn fawr. Cheers, everyone.
Mate. No worries. Diolch yn fawr. Thank you. Like an old film star.